Today I am going to read Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 34. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowds, and after he had dismissed the crowd, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter go out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Morning. Oh, that was loud. Okay, I showed Rob this slide, and his suggestion was that I should have a second slide following it that shows a great big killer whale in the water waiting for them, but I decided that would be a bit inappropriate, so you've just got this one. So do you have faith to follow? Okay, so if you get e-news, who gets e-news? Maybe I need to say who doesn't. Okay, e-news is something Cassandra sends out each week. It's just an electronic version, in a way, of our newsletter. So there's just bits of information about that are church-related, but they might also be community-related. There might be things, information the local community sent that we think you might be interested in. And we also include a link or a story of community engagement from somewhere that you can read. This one is that was in this week's is about a courageous couple called Max and Bronwyn, who happen to be good friends of ours that live up in Newcastle. But they're a couple who dared to imagine themselves doing and being part of something that was very new and very exciting. And it took a lot of courage for them to do that. So if you haven't read it, make sure you read that article. But Google describes courage as the ability to confront fear, pain, danger, or uncertainty. It's acting in spite of fear, opposition, physical pain, hardship, or threat of death. Is that me crackling? I would say that Max and Bronwyn, my friends from the slide before, had to overcome a lot of fear. They certainly had to overcome a lot of opposition, some of that came from within their own church. But they had courage. If I think of someone with courage, Nelson Mandela is someone else who comes to my mind as someone with courage. He faced a lot of abuse. He lived with torture and imprisonment before he finally became the president of South Africa. But in his book, he wrote these words: "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers fear." This morning, I want us to look at someone else who I think conquered fear. Someone who was willing to step out to do something that was seemingly impossible. And I want us to be asking ourselves two questions. Do I personally have faith to overcome my fears and follow where God is leading? But secondly, do we as a church family have faith to overcome our fears and follow where God's leading us? So two questions. But let's just pray. Lord, we want to thank you for this story and others that we find in your word. Stories that we can read and be encouraged by, but we can also be challenged by. Stories that help us to learn more about you, more about ourselves, and more about how we can be imitating you, how we can be continuing your mission in ways that are relevant for us today. And I pray that you enable me to be able to speak the truth of what you've showed to me over these last few weeks in a way that is understandable and a way that we can sort of take on board. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. Okay, so the person that we're looking at today is the disciple Peter, who I think would be my favourite disciple. And I think he is someone who is a really good example of what we need to truly follow Jesus. And the first thing that I think we need is courage. Might seem a little bit odd living here in Australia when it's a pretty safe, easy place to live and be a Christian. But I actually think to really be a true follower of Jesus requires courage. Our story today takes up where we left off 2 weeks ago, if you were here. You would remember that it was the end of a long day of teaching and healing, and Jesus had miraculously fed 5,000 men and their families from just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And you'll remember that after he'd done that, he sent his disciples on ahead of him while he went up on his own to pray. And that's where today's story kicks in. Because while Jesus is up on the hillside praying on his own, his disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee trying to get across to the other side. They're doing what Jesus told them to do, but they're being battered by these heavy winds and these strong waves are threatening to sink them. And it must have been pretty scary for them, especially those guys who weren't fishermen, who weren't used to being out on the sea in a boat. But then they see something even more scary. They see someone walking toward them on the water. I think it must have been terrifying. Matthew says that when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But then they hear this ghost speaking, saying, "Don't be afraid, take courage, I am here." I am here. Who's here? They think it's a ghost. Who is this ghost? They think that it's Jesus, but they're still not sure because Peter calls out, "Lord, if it's really you, then tell me to come to you walking on the water." Pretty outrageous request. And Jesus says, "Yes, come." You know, I love this story. I could read it and read it and read it. I love this invitation from Jesus to Peter. Come. And I love it that Jesus doesn't get angry or rebuke them for being afraid. He reassures them. He doesn't get angry at their doubts. You know, when Peter calls out, "If it's really you, then tell me to come to the water," he doesn't get angry at that. He doesn't get angry that they ask for confirmation. Have you ever done that? Asked God for confirmation. Asked God to somehow prove that it's his voice that you're hearing, or to prove that it's his purpose that you're actually trying to follow. I know I have. I grew up in churches where women weren't allowed to lead or pastor or preach. So when I was at college and I felt that God was telling me to take preaching classes, well, I thought I must be hearing wrong. What good would preaching classes be to me? How could I even pass the course? Because you had to preach 3 or 4 times, I can't remember, to pass the course. Because it didn't make sense to me, I ignored it. And that worked for a while, but God just kept it on my radar, as he does. And I had lecturers at college coming up and saying, "Oh, you should do the preaching course." Things that I was reading, friends were suggesting that I should learn to speak because you didn't know what would be ahead of you. I even had a dream when I was sitting in the library at college. I had a dream where I saw myself preaching at a church that I'd never been to. But I was still unsure because it was so far outside the realm of my experience. And so I did a Peter. I said, okay, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, I'll sign up for the course, but you have to provide me with opportunities to preach. And guess what? Not long after that, Lidcombe-Baralla Baptist contacted a church I'd never heard of, contacted the college and asked if they had a woman who would be able to come and preach there that coming Mother's Day. That church turned out to be the one that I'd seen myself preaching in my dream. You know, God went on to provide other opportunities for me to preach in other churches, and I never had to organise a single one for myself. God confirmed his direction for me by providing those opportunities. Now, some people might tell you that it's wrong to ask God for confirmation because you're testing God, and I've heard that before, but I don't agree with that. And when I read through the Bible, I see examples of other people who sought confirmation from God. People like Gideon, who, you know, put out a sheepskin and used that for confirmation from God, not once, but twice. You know, I don't think we should be afraid to ask God for clarity. I don't think we should be afraid to ask God to confirm things to us because he loves us. He wants us to recognise his voice. He wants us to know that it's him we hear in our minds when he's speaking to us, that it's him that's putting something inside us that makes us feel a particular way. I think God wants He thinks it's okay for us to ask for confirmation because he wants us to be able to follow him, to be willing to overcome our fears, and that takes courage. Peter was willing to do this, but he needed the confirmation. And don't make any mistake, Peter would have been scared. Matthew tells us they were all scared, but Peter was still willing to obey. I wonder how many of us would have responded the way that Peter did. You know, I was thinking about this, and I think there were three kinds of disciples in the boat that night. I think there were those disciples who had no desire to get out of that boat. They were happy where they were comfortable, and they saw no reason why they should get out of that boat and follow Jesus, join Jesus. I think there was also disciples there who would have really liked to get out. They wanted to, but they just couldn't quite bring themselves to do it. They just couldn't overcome their fears. They couldn't overcome the uncertainties of what might happen, so they chose to stay in the boat. But then there's Peter. Peter, who wanted so badly to be with Jesus, who wanted to follow his lead, that he was willing to risk everything, even his own life, to do it. I wonder which one of those disciples you would have been. Would you have been one of the safe, comfortable disciples who decided to stay in the boat? Would you have been one of the indecisive, the hesitating disciples, watching what Peter did, but just not being able to actually get out? Or would you have been Peter? Bold, obedient, willing to follow through on something that your mind told you was actually impossible. I think most Christians fall into those first two categories. I think most Christians choose to stay in the boat. They like things to stay safe. They like to be comfortable. Most Christians would rather watch than step out and be involved. But that's not what God asks of us. He asks us for more. You know, regardless of which disciple you'd be, regardless of which choice you'd make, God continues to love you. Because God's love isn't dependent on us doing the right thing. I mean, if it was, none of us would ever know his favour. But we should know that God does call us to more. He does call us to get out of the boat. I know there are people sitting here right now that God has specifically called to more in particular ways. People that he's challenged about their job or their career. People that he's challenging about how they view and spend their money, about how much they keep and how much they give away. People at the moment who are challenged, who have been challenged about stepping into a leadership or a ministry role here in the church. And I want to say that it takes boldness and courage to say yes and follow Jesus. Just ask some of our Persian friends here today. Ask Sarah. It takes courage to say yes. Talk to Ray and Fran, who spent 40 years involved in mission work. Or Diane or Ray, when they come here next week, sharing with us about moving to Southeast Asia to share about Jesus there. Or to Karen about how she's responded to God's challenge to her to become a pastor. Now, you might not be called to step out in those ways, but we are all called to follow Jesus. To be willing to overcome our fears, to be willing to overcome whatever it is that holds us back. And we do that with the help of God's Spirit, but also with each other. Because Jesus tells you and I the same thing he told Peter. He says, come. Come and play a part in my mission of making Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God known. What part is Jesus inviting you to play? What role is he asking you to come in and be and do? You know, when Jesus tells you to come, how do you respond? It takes courage to follow Jesus. But we also need to have our eyes fixed on him. Look again at verse 29. When Peter got down out of the boat, he walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. As I imagine this in my mind, I see that when Peter was focused on Jesus, he was able to do something that we would say is impossible. Peter got to walk on water. But as soon as he looked away, he started to sink. But instead of seeing Jesus, he saw the wind, he saw the waves, and he realized what he was doing, and he was very afraid. He was overcome by his fears. You know, the writer of Hebrews tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He says to consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. Why fix your eyes on Jesus? Because he's the source, he's the goal of our faith. And when we're looking at him, we don't give in to the tiredness. We don't give in to the discouragement or the distractions or the fears that hold us back. In fact, when we are focused on Jesus, so often we don't even notice those things. What helps you keep your focus on Jesus? For me, it's prayer. I chatter away to God all day, Rob will tell you. I can be very annoying. It's prayer, but it's also reading my Bible, particularly the Gospels. You know, my practice is to read something from one of the Gospels every night before I go to sleep. It might just be one verse, it might be a chapter, depending on how tired I am. But every night, my last thoughts are of Jesus. And every morning I make time to read something from my Bible. I do this because I know how hard it is for me to keep focused on Jesus. How hard it is to not give in to the stress or the busyness of my life. To the demands of caring for children maybe, for caring for parents, for caring for someone who's sick. Could be pressures at work. Could be the uncertainty of waiting for a visa or a new job. Could be anxiety over problems that your kids are facing. There are so many things that can so easily distract us and take our attention off Jesus. But we need to keep our focus on Him. And the best way I've found to do that is to read my Bible and to pray. But it's also to spend time with other people, like-minded people like you, who I can pray with and share my struggles with, that helps me to stay focused. So we need courage, eyes fixed on Jesus, and we also need faith if we're going to follow. What happens when Jesus begins to sink? He doesn't call out to the other disciples. He doesn't try to swim for it. He calls out to Jesus. He says, "Lord, save me." Because he knows that Jesus is with him and he believes that Jesus can save him. Years ago, before Rob and I were dating, I went on a sailing trip up in the Whitsundays in Queensland. I had this amazing week of sunshine and swimming and snorkeling, but on the last day, we got caught on the edge of a cyclone. Strong winds, huge waves that just blocked out the sky, that threatened to capsize our boat, and it was terrifying, and I've never been on a yacht since. We sent out distress calls on the radio, but then our radio stopped working. And then the rudder broke off the boat, so we couldn't steer. So we were just bobbing along on the waves, and we were all sure that we were going to drown. You know, there was absolutely nothing that we could do to save ourselves. So I prayed. I prayed to the one person that I believed could save us, and he did. After about 7 terrifying hours in a pitch black night in a storm, the Coast Guard turned up. They'd heard our distress calls earlier and they'd been out for most of the night looking for us. And I was so glad to see them. I jumped off our yacht onto their boat. What did I do when I knew that we were going to drown? I did what Peter did. I called out to the one person that I believed could save us. You know, I think Jesus must have been disappointed when he grabbed Peter and lifted him back into the boat. Peter, who'd had the courage to step out, but now we hear Jesus say, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? Why didn't you trust me? Why didn't you trust that I could protect you and provide what you needed? Why didn't you trust in my ability to do the things that God can do?" Following Jesus requires faith. Not just knowledge, not just belief in who Jesus is, but faith that enables you to act on that faith. Requires you to be a person of action who's willing to actually get out of the boat for Jesus. Because when Peter heard Jesus tell him to come, he didn't hesitate. He got out of the boat. He took a risk. He stepped out of his comfort zone because he loved Jesus and wanted to please him more than anything else. He didn't want to miss out on anything that Jesus had to offer him. And it paid off because Peter got to walk on water. I mean, how many people can say that? I can imagine these disciples talking together years later, going through all their remember when stories. Remember when? Oh, yeah. This would be one of them. Remember when Peter got out of the boat and walked on water? Oh, yeah, wasn't that amazing? Don't we all wish that we'd done it too? You know, I believe that Jesus is calling our church to get out of the boat, to step into a new season of engagement that is going to open doors and create opportunities for people around us to see and know Jesus, to know the wonder of his kingdom for themselves. And I think this is going to become one of our remember when stories. Remember when we were willing to step out. Will it be easy? No, I don't actually think it will. Because we are all going to have our fears. We are all going to have our doubts, those times of questioning if this is really God's purpose. I know I do. You know, at our leaders' meeting that Cameron mentioned last week, I shared with the leaders some strategies and a plan for achieving the vision and the mission that God has given to us of being a Christ-centered community of faith that shares life with our diverse local community so they can see and know Jesus Christ through us. I'd invested in a lot of prayer, a really lot of prayer in that. But Rob will tell you, before I went there that night, I'd almost come to a point of thinking I wouldn't share those things with the leaders. Doubts had started to creep in. I was second-guessing myself. There was the hesitations. There was the who am I creeping in. Who am I to think that I can lead our church in this new direction? Who am I to think that I can present something so big, something so different, something so challenging? You know, I'm not confident in myself, but I am confident in God. And I am convinced that this is from him. So even though I think it's beyond me, and even though I doubt myself, even though I think that it is beyond what seems reasonable or even achievable, I'm willing to say yes and to do whatever God asks of me, and I'm hoping that you all will be too. As Cameron said, you're going to hear more about this at our quarterly meeting in 2 weeks' time, so I hope you can be there. Because where we as a church go from here is very much a shared decision. It's not my decision. It's not the leader's decision. It's our decision. It's something we decide together. It's us together choosing to make God's vision for us become a reality. Us together saying yes and choosing to get out of the boat. The outcome of this story was that the disciples worshipped Jesus and confessed him to be their Lord. They said, "You really are the Son of God." I'm praying that the outcome of our story is going to be the same. That we will worship Jesus. That we will acknowledge him as our Lord, but not just us. That the community around us will also come to know him, will also come to worship him, and will also come to choose to follow him in faith like they've seen us do. Let's pray. Lord, I'm reminded of your words from Ephesians that tell us that we are your workmanship, that we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works that you prepared in advance for us to do. Lord, you know what lies ahead of us. You know your plans for us. And you know that for us to be willing to step into those plans will require us to have courage, to be willing to overcome our fears and our doubts and anxieties, that it will require us to have our eyes fixed on you all the time, that we will need to be people of faith, willing to believe and trust in you, but also willing to act on those things. Lord, help us to be people of faith, of courage and of action. Help us to be people who pray, who read your word, who meet together, so that we can keep our eyes fixed on you. And Lord, we ask these things not just for ourselves, but we ask them on behalf of the people around us who don't yet know you, who don't yet have a relationship with you, who don't yet enjoy that relationship with you that they were created to have. And so, Lord, we ask that you would enable us, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would give us everything that we need so that we can be faithful to all that you ask of us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.